The big six banks have now all reported their earnings. We're going to recap everything in this video today. Also, Elon Musk is suing OpenAI, and you're not going to believe the amount of money the lawyers in another Musk-related case are asking for. Canadian retail companies are facing challenges. The Body Shop files for bankruptcy protection and blames its parent company. And Air Canada matches WestJet's fee hikes. Today is Monday, March the 4th, 2024. Here are today's top stories. The last two of Canada's big six banks have now reported their earnings. I'm going to cover those off today. I'm also going to share my thoughts on the overall view of how earnings season came in this year. CIBC reported their first Q 2024 net income coming in at $1.73 billion. That's up from the $433 million or they reported back in Q1 2023. Adjusted earnings per share, $1.81. Those beat analyst expectations, which were at $1.68 per share. The company reported revenue of $6.22 billion. That's a 5% increase year over year. Provisions for credit losses in the quarter, they set those at $585 million. That's higher than expected and up from the $295 million they booked a year ago. The company also did declare a dividend of 90 cents per share. Now, finally, this quarter, TD Bank, they beat analyst expectations. Net income for Q1 2024 was $2.8 billion. That's $1.55 per share. That's up from $1.58 billion or 82 cents a share a year ago. Adjusted earnings per share were $2. Those beat analyst expectations, which were $1.89 per share. Revenue was $13.7 billion, up 12% year over year. Now, TD did set aside $1 billion in provisions for credit losses. That compares with the $690 million set a year ago. The company also declared a dividend of $1.02 a share. Now, the bank highlighted the fact that they did record record revenue in its capital markets division. TD also expects to book around $400 million in pre-tax savings this year after trimming expenses, and those, of course, included job cuts that were announced earlier this year. So when I look at everything in aggregate, the main takeaways from this earnings season is the banks largely beat what were, you know, in fairness, there were pretty low expectations going in. Analysts had been predicting lower profits. The banks are struggling with, especially the financial pressure of putting the money aside for these potentially bad loans that they have on the books. As was widely expected, they all added provisions for credit losses. In total, the bank set aside $4.11 billion in this area here. The banks reported growth in most segments. That was a positive there. And in aggregate, profits for the big six banks added up to around $12.5 billion for the quarter. Now, all also confirmed that they are well capitalized with reserves well in excess of what the regulators require. So I would say that overall, the results show that the banks are taking a cautious approach. We saw that with the numbers that came out that has been paying off. In summary, I would just say it was not a bad earnings season after all. Elon Musk has filed a lawsuit against OpenAI and its CEO, Sam Altman, and he alleges that they've strayed from the company's original mission, which was to develop artificial intelligence for the benefit of humanity and not for profit. In the suit, he claims a breach of contract, and he says that the founders initially intended to establish an open source nonprofit organization, but OpenAI has now shifted its focus to profitability. It was founded back in 2015, and he's saying that the mission has changed since that time. He's seeking a court ruling to compel OpenAI, in this case, to make its research and technology accessible to the public and to prevent the startup from using its assets, including, of course, we all know the AI model GPT-4 for financial gain. This lawsuit really underscores the tensions between Musk and OpenAI, which he actually co-founded as well. And particularly in this case, regarding the influence of Microsoft, which has provided substantial funding to OpenAI. And Musk has criticized Microsoft's ties with the company. He has advocated for AI regulation, and of course, he stepped down from OpenAI's board back in 2018. Now, Musk has launched a rival AI effort with his startup called xAI, and he's aiming to challenge the top firms with innovations like Grok, which is a ChatGPT competitor designed for maximum truth-seeking. This lawsuit highlights the complexities that we're seeing play out now with the balancing of technological advancement with ethical considerations. And as someone who has navigated the intricacies of financial regulation, I certainly understand the importance of ethical stewardship in these emerging industries like AI. Now, in another Musk-related story, in a groundbreaking legal decision, lawyers representing Tesla shareholders, They have made a staggering request for $5.6 billion in company stock as legal fees. And this request comes after a ruling that deemed Tesla CEO Elon Musk's substantial pay package was illegal and was subject to cancellation. We reported on this channel a month ago. A judge decided that regarding Musk's 2018 compensation package, he had exerted undue influence over the package's terms. And he said that he engaged in what were described as sham negotiations with Tesla's directors who were challenged on their independence. The lawyers have justified their fee request by highlighting the contingency nature of their work, which spanned more than 5 years, and there was no guarantee of any payment at all. And they argue that their efforts brought substantial benefits to Tesla, and they say that that warrants this substantial fee request. Just in case the $5.6 billion doesn't cover their photocopying expenses, the legal team is also seeking $1.1 million in expenses, and they emphasize the financial and operational risks that they undertook while pursuing this case. Looking for a smart way to invest your money? Well, BMO ETFs and mutual funds offer innovative solutions for every type of investor. Whether you want to diversify your portfolio, access fixed income or core strategies, or align your investments with your values, BMO Global Asset Management has the right product for you. BMO GAM's investment professionals have the experience and the insights to navigate through the changing markets and in turn help you achieve your goals. Don't miss this opportunity. Visit BMOGAM.com today and discover how they can help you make a difference with your money. The Canadian real estate landscape, and particularly the apparel sector, is facing significant challenges right now. And they're seeing customers who are hesitant to splurge on higher ticket items. They're citing inflation, they're citing high interest rates and economic uncertainties. According to McKinsey, Canadians today are prioritizing essential services like food, experiences, over apparel. And this is leading to sluggish growth in the retail sector. The luxury market, which is typically more resilient, is also expected to slow down. McKinsey is predicting lower growth sales compared to previous years. Retail giants, we're talking about companies like Canadian Tire, which owns Mark's Work Warehouse, it owns SportChek. They've reported profit declines attributed to various factors, including the interest rate rise. And of course, they're always going to put unfavorable weather conditions in there. That's something that seems to sneak into every report. To cope with these challenges, a significant number of executives have stated that they plan to raise prices, some anticipating price hikes of 5% or more. Now, luxury brands, companies like Canada Goose, Lululemon, they're also considering price increases like the others. But companies like Roots have said that they're focusing on reducing promotions to boost their margins. Even with these discounts, enticing consumers to spend, you know, seems to be becoming more and more increasingly difficult as shoppers continue to pull back on their discretionary spending. It's not all bad news out there in the sector, though. Despite the overall gloomy outlook, some of the sectors within retail, such as luxury merchandise and sports apparel, they are expected to fare better. Brands that innovate, prioritize in sustainability, they may also stand out in a competitive market. Consumers are willing to spend more on innovative products and experiences. The challenges that we're seeing right now that are being faced by the Canadian apparel sector, they really underscore the importance of adaptability and innovation in navigating through these economic uncertainties. Retailers have to remain focused on meeting the changing consumer demands and delivering value through product innovations. You probably heard last week that the Body Shop Canada has announced that it's seeking creditor protection. And now in what is an interesting and I would say somewhat sinister twist here, the move seems to be prompted by actions from its parent company, the Body Shop International Limited, which according to the Canadian subsidiary led to significant financial strain. Jordan Searle, he is the head of Body Shop Canada, and he detailed in an affidavit how the company's financial health declined quite rapidly following the acquisition of its parent company by the private equity firm Aurelius back in December. The downturn was marked by the parent company withdrawing funds from the Canadian arm while simultaneously delaying payments to vendors, citing the loss of access to financing and a need to conserve cash. Now, the crux of the issue here lies in a financial arrangement which is known as cash pooling. It's a common practice within corporate families, and the setup allows the Body Shop, or allowed in this case, the Body Shop International, to directly access and manage the funds of its Canadian subsidiary, and it could use these funds for various expenses that it had from the parent company. Now, such arrangements can often be efficient and offer simplicity in financial management within a corporate group. Searle's affidavit suggests that this system exposed The Body Shop Canada to vulnerabilities, particularly when the parent company began to experience its own financial difficulties. The situation took a turn for the worse when Body Shop International, which was under new ownership then, reportedly continued to draw on Body Shops Canada's funds, but failed to meet its obligation to pay the vendors. This action not only strained the Canadian operations finances, but it also placed it in a precarious position with its creditors and suppliers. And that led to the decision this week to seek creditor protection. So the Body Shop Canada's move towards this protection is a clear indicator of the complexities and risks inherent in global corporate structures, especially for subsidiaries that are reliant on their parent companies for financial management and support. Air Canada has now joined WestJet and has increased fees for its first check bag by $5 for economy fares. According to Carl Moore, who is an associate professor at McGill University who follows this kind of thing, the airlines view this as a missed opportunity not to raise fees, especially when they do something like this and there's very little public outrage. There is concern about a potential backlash from customers once they face the higher fees, but in general, it's pretty subdued and customers just sort of get used to it. Now, in this case, for travel booked after February 27th, Air Canada now charged between $35 and $42 for the first check bag as for basic and standard economy fares in North America, the Caribbean, and Central America. WestJet introduced a similar fee structure for economy fares booked after February the 14th. Now, some industry experts are warning here that as these checked bag fees rise, more and more passengers are going to opt for these carry-on bags, as, like I said, it could just exacerbate the space constraints in the cabin. Some airlines already do charge for cabin baggage, but others have not gone there yet. Despite these concerns, both WestJet and Air Canada have not indicated that they plan any changes for their policy of allowing for free overhead bags. In addition to baggage fees, there have been other airline charges also on the rise. The ultra-low-cost carrier Flair Airlines, they recently increased its change and cancellation fees. Now, the airlines argue here that unbundling the fares, they allow customers to pay only for what they need. But passengers really must, you know, sort of navigate this really complex fee schedule when they're booking their flights. It seems now that if you're booking a trip, it involves way more than just booking your destination. You've also got to navigate this maze of fees that could pretty quickly add up if you're not careful. I always appreciate those who have taken the time to tune into this program, especially if you're watching now to the end. Thank you so much. Don't forget to subscribe to our Pulse newsletter. That goes out every weekend. Also, if you haven't already done so, you can visit our Investing Academy website. I will put links for both the newsletter and the Academy in this video's description. Again, thank you so much for watching. Hope to see you in the next video.